means that every element of seminar that tells us that we can grow the church if we'll market it in some way and try to meet felt needs that people have, that may not be conducive to what God said. The greatest need that men and women have today is not a need to win the lottery, not a need to have a fulfillment of living the American dream, but the greatest need they have is still the need of salvation through and by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the greatest need that anybody has. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Baptizing them, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You see, He is the correct stone. He is the chosen stone. I've messed up my outline this morning preaching. You got to know that. He said, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. He is elect. He is designed to be who He is." Let me say thirdly, He is the confessed stone as well. I've said that already, because if you don't believe on Him in verse 6, he that believeth on Him shall not be confounded. The church and belief on Jesus, the church and its business is to get people to Jesus. And it's twofold. The twofold purpose of the church is to evangelize. That's one. The second purpose of the church is to edify. It's pretty simple, isn't it? Now, sometimes it's possible to get unbalanced. But often what happens in a church, after we get a certain number and a certain satisfaction with number, we focus upon the edification and lose the vision, or lose the passion, or lose the emphasis upon trying to bring others to Jesus Christ. Do you know what happens to a group of people who don't have children born, newborns? They dry up and go away. You know what happens to a church that doesn't have a perpetual birthing room where people are born again and brought in the family of God? What happens is there's an emphasis on edification, and often there's a shifting of the herd, if you will, and often it ends up that there's such an emphasis on that they're trying to find nuances and new ways to grow the church, when God's already given us the formula on the foundational truth of the Word of God, that we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples. That's our purpose. Our purpose this morning is not to come here and to socialize. There's an element of that, certainly. There's an element of the camaraderie and the fellowship. Certainly that's involved in church, but that's not our primary purpose. Our primary purpose is to win souls to Christ, and then secondly, to edify them so that in turn they go out. And as we are going, we are doing the work of evangelism. And the church works like that. You say, how do you know? I believe that's on the foundational level. Let's go back to the foundation instead of seeking for nuances and new ways and easier ways, it seems. The devil's always historically busy about giving us other ways to do what God said to do. The trouble is, it's not in agreement with what the Word of God said. Let me say, fourthly, that He is the costly stone. He says in verse 7, "Unto you therefore which believe, He is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner." He is precious. He is costly. He is of inestimable value. Do you know the greatest gem that shimmers and shines in any church service, or should be? It is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." And anything that we do in the church, you know one of the reasons we have the pulpit in the middle? Do you know why we have the Word of God laid open in the middle? It's so that the focus is up on Him. And Jesus gets the attention. and He gets the glory. Jesus is the center attraction this morning. And this church is about Him. He is the foundation, and He's precious, He's costly. And the greatest thing I have to share is not my opinion or what I think the ball game scores are going to be or not going to be. I don't even know if UK won yesterday. Somebody's happy. That's more response I got out of you than in my preaching. Now, come on. I guess they won. Let me tell you, with Jesus, I'm on the winning side every day. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. You never have a losing day because He is the gem of salvation, because He shimmers and shines in the darkest day, because even when things around you are not going well, Jesus is the joy and the light of your life. He is a costly stone. You see, the foundation certainly ensures the endurance of that structure. But the building itself is kept true by its foundation. Now listen to me. As the walls go up, the cornerstone was used to strike a line to ensure that the building stayed plumb, that it stayed straight to the integrity of the foundation. And each segment went into the building, it was checked to make sure it kept in line with the corner. And Paul said that in Ephesians 2:20 that He is the chief cornerstone. And that chief cornerstone, while it had to be visible so that they could keep in line the rest of the structure that's going up, let me say this morning, part of the trouble that we run into in church work today is that the lines and the structure is not being constantly checked by the cornerstone. If we're to keep it straight with what He says, and by the way, here is the blueprint. The blueprint, don't try to change it for something else, the opinions of men or anything else. The Word of God is still the blueprint for the church today. And when we run away from the blueprint or try to replace it with something else, something that's more palatable or more popular or more prized than in our day, then we get into trouble with what Jesus' intent is for the church. Isaiah said, I'm not going to have you... I want to give you the reference. You look it up on your own time. He said, therefore, thus saith God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation and stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, and he that believeth shall make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the line. That's Isaiah 28:16-17. That's a reference to the fact that that cornerstone was used to keep the rest of the structure in line. Anytime that Jesus is given second place in His church, the church gets out of line with its purpose. The church gets out of line as to where it's supposed to be and what it's supposed to be doing. The integrity of the building is dependent upon the foundation and depended upon the cornerstone. I'm glad to report to you this morning that the foundation endures beyond even the superstructure. Someone commented on the ancient methods of carefully and skillfully laid foundation and its endurance. They said this, only the foundation courses of this well-planned citadel survive, but they were constructed of exceptionally well-dressed stone, fitted together, closely together, without mortar, overlaid and cross-laid in such a way that the foundation stone still exists. There is no foundation that's been laid than Jesus Christ. And I want to report to you this morning, with all the schisms and problems and difficulties we've seen in church history and even in our day. And as we go through this series on the churchmanship days, I'll be talking about some of the things that I believe are a concern and some of the things we need to steer clear from and some of the things that seem to be popular. I still believe that rock is still steadfast and sure. And I still believe that His church is marching on. And any generation, and even in the Old Testament, you'll hear this repeated phrase, but He had a remnant. And even within apostasy, and even within with falsehood, and even with the cults that permeated and peppered throughout the landscape of Old Testament history and Israel, the fact is God always had His remnant. And even with all that can be said negative about the church today and the concerns that we have, God still has a remnant today, and the foundation is still sure. Amen. Now I say to you this morning as your pastor, I say we stay with the foundation and we stay with the old book and the blueprint for the church, and we keep on telling others about Christ. And I believe that we need to have a greater passion and a greater vigor for telling others about Jesus. I've given you a challenge for churchmanship days. Among them is to give out some gospel tracts. They should lay in the back there, grab some and use them this week, and make a note of how you're passing them out, and ask God to bless them and use them because His Word is in there, and do what you can to bring others to Christ. That's our purpose as a church, to move forward, staying true to the book. But those who don't believe Him, those who do not receive Him, will one day be crushed by that rock. But this morning, you have an opportunity to depend upon the church's one foundation, Jesus Christ, her Lord. As the old hymn says, with His own blood He bought her, and for her life He died. You can say this morning that He bought you with His blood, and He died for you. He gave His life for you. And you can be a part of this body of Christ, the church, if you'll take Jesus as Savior. Brother Mike's here this morning. Just a few weeks ago, I had the privilege of baptizing him in the waters of baptism. About a week before then, he walked the aisle. He said, Pastor, I just prayed that prayer. The prayer that I'm going to give you now is the prayer that he prayed, or very similar, and he trusted Christ as Savior. And that can be your testimony this morning if you'll take him as Savior. That morning, I said, you can pray and say, Dear Lord Jesus, forgive me, I'm a sinner. I know you came into this world to save sinners and you died for me. And you offer heaven as a free gift. I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I ask you to save me. With my heart, I believe, and with my mouth, I will confess. Brother Mike prayed a prayer like that, similar to that. He walked the aisle. He said, Pastor, I just prayed that prayer. How many of you this morning need to pray that prayer or have prayed that prayer, but you've not made it public? You prayed it in your heart. Someone here this morning perhaps needs to come and say, Pastor, I've trusted Christ as Savior, but I've not followed Him in believer's baptism. I want to encourage you to come and make that known and present yourself as a candidate for baptism. It may be this morning you say, Pastor, I've been baptized, I've been scripturally baptized, and I want to be a part of Palomar Baptist Church. I believe in what you're saying. I believe in the Word of God and the foundation that the church is based upon. And I want to be a part of this church. We can receive you by letter. We can receive you by experience. But I invite you to come. That's your challenge this morning. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. If you've trusted Christ...